Back in 1942, Robert Emmett Winsett wrote a song that has been a favorite. And, well, I first heard it in the Baptist church, but it's also a very popular song among Pentecostals. The title of the song is "Jesus is Coming Soon." I'm sure many of you have heard it. But I want you to listen to this. The first verse says, "Troublesome times are here." Now remember, this song was written in 1942. "Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear now is at stake. Humbling your heart to God saves from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod. Christians, awake." That applies to now. Well, the chorus says, "Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies, going where no one dies, heavenward bound." And the second verse says, "Love of so many cold, losing their home of gold. This in God's word is told, evils abound. When these signs come to pass, nearing the end at last, it will come very fast, trumpets will sound." That song has been true ever since the moment it was written, but its reality is increasing. And basically what the song is saying is the title of this message, "The End is Near." And you know, you see these things on TVs and so forth, people holding up signs, "The end is near" and all that. The end is near. I don't know how near, but the end is near. And what I want to do tonight is point out some things in Scripture that are being fulfilled right now. If you would begin in Matthew 24. And what I'm going to share with you, it's not like people don't know this, but it, you know what's happened? Before we get into this, you know, go ahead, turn over to Matthew 24. But these things have been happening kind of gradually over the years to where we've been accustomed to them, but they've increased over the last, well, say, 9 years. Increased over the last 9 years. And that's not a coincidence. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says in verse 6, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." Right now, this very night, this very moment, there is warfare, not declared wars, but there is warfare taking place in Belarus, Czechia, Slovakia, Serbia, Bosnia, Croatia, Slovenia, Ukraine, Armenia, Georgia, Azerbaijan, Afghanistan, Turkey, Bulgaria, Iran, Iraq, Jordan, Israel, Lebanon, Syria, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Somalia, and on it goes. Let alone the rattling sabers coming from North Korea. Never in my lifetime has there been so much conflict. Never. It's going on now, and those aren't all the countries. Those are just some of the countries where the warfare is taking place now. Where Jesus said that nation shall rise against nation, that's not simply country against country, but it's also ethnic group against ethnic group. And we're seeing this happen right now before our very eyes. It's happening continually. It's happening nonstop. Jesus said in another place, men, you know, they're going to say peace, peace, but there won't be any peace. And I'm telling you now, there will never be peace on earth until the book of Revelation is over and done. It's not going to happen. All we can do is work as hard as possible to minimize the casualties. That's it. So yes, we should have our peace talks. Yes, we should talk about disarmament. Yes, we should talk about whatever we need to talk about among all the nations and so forth. But it's never, ever, ever going to end. It is going to increase. So all we can do is everything we can do to minimize the casualties. That doesn't sound... Well, a lot of people would say, well, you know, you're doom and gloom. I'm sharing with you from the Word of God. You'll read the book of Revelation. That stuff's going to happen. It's going to get worse. And it's, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Well, yeah, it's going to get worse, and then here comes Jesus. Okay, then it gets better. But until then, it's going to continue to get worse. We'll touch on something else here in a minute. But this warfare is intensifying, and the only reason that we haven't seen more of it in this country is because this nation is still a nation that, not as much as used to, but proclaims the Lord as our God. Even, some people would say, well, that's not true. It is true. The gospel can be preached more freely here than most all nations on earth. So yeah, the power of the gospel is protection. And it's watching over this nation. But the further we've drifted away from that, the worse things have gotten. In Matthew 24, look at the rest of verse 7. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. That phrase, divers places, it doesn't... I used to think it meant like off the coastline. Well, it means in diverse places, many different places. Look in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature, and that means of that which is created, not humans, but the natural creation, waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. This literally is talking about in Genesis chapter 3 and in earlier here in Romans back over in Romans chapter 5, we get the revelation that because of Adam's sin, the power of sin and corruption has been released throughout the universe. This planet is falling apart. It would fall apart with or without carbon emissions. The planet is falling apart because of the power of sin. When Jesus was talking back there look at another place, Luke 21. When Jesus was talking about all these famines and the earthquakes and the pestilences and so forth, a lot of what's being described here, it really cannot be tied to carbon emissions. Well, somebody says, but global warming. I understand that concept. Quite frankly, it is not as true as what many people say. But this planet is falling apart. Global warming or no global warming, the planet is falling apart. And in Luke 21, verses 25 and 26, Jesus says, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. The planet's falling apart. And we're going to see an increase of what you would call natural disasters, natural problems. It's going to happen. It cannot be averted. Even if everybody stops driving cars and trucks and we get completely away from fossil fuel, it's going to happen. There's no way around it. Listen to this. I'm going to give you some information relative only to 2017. Now, I could have gone back to 16 and 15. I could have gone back many years. But I'm only going to give you some information about 2017, and it's going to be very limited information. In 2017, the Atlantic hurricane season had record-breaking cyclones. Now, that's only the Atlantic. We're not even talking about the Pacific or the Indian Ocean or anywhere else. We're talking only about the Atlantic region. The Atlantic hurricane season had record-breaking cyclones. Hurricanes Harvey, Irma, and Maria changed parts of Texas, Florida, and the Caribbean forever. Part of those areas have been permanently and forever altered. There will be no recovery, ever, because of how these hurricanes impact. And in fact, Hurricane Irma had 185 mile per hour winds for 37 straight hours. That's never happened before. It was a Category 5 hurricane for three straight days. That's never happened before. You know, 185 mile an hour winds. Okay, you know, when you take your hand and you just hold your hand up, your hand is in the middle of air. There it is. When you move your hand like this, you can feel, we call it a breeze, but it's actually our hand coming in contact with the air molecules. And it's resistance. What we're feeling is actually the resistance of the air molecules. How many of you have been in a car driving down the interstate 70 miles an hour? You put your hand out the window and your hand is doing this. At 70 miles an hour, okay, 80 for some of you, 70. And then, you know, when you turn your hand like this, and you know what this looks like, don't you? That's an airplane wing. Okay, that's aerodynamics. But when your hand is like this, you know, you're feeling it. And sometimes you can see the skin kind of blow back a little bit from your hand. Now, that's at 70 or 80 miles an hour. We're talking about winds of 185 miles per hour. Do you think you could stand up in something like that? I mean, it literally could take, I've seen pictures of this where hurricanes have taken a piece of straw and blown it right through a tree. And then there's a piece of straw, you know, through a tree or through a 2x4. It could take a piece of straw and literally blow it through your head. Completely blow it through your body. One little piece of straw. That's incredible. In fact, September of 2017 had the greatest amount of hurricane activity ever recorded in history. Now, I'm not saying that 2018 will be worse, but what I'm saying is there is an increase. I haven't even begun talking about the earthquakes. Have you paid attention to the news? Earthquakes are taking place. In fact, stuff's happening so much, it doesn't even make the front page anymore. There have been earthquakes in so... Just Google earthquakes in 2017 and 2018. There has been flooding over in... I forget which country it was. It's an African nation. Flooding. And when somebody sent me a link to it, it's like, well, our news hasn't been reporting this. I'm talking huge, massive floods, just wiping things out like crazy. The earth is falling apart. And we're witnessing it right now. And people want to blame, you know, honestly, it's really a slick thing of the devil to get people distracted into thinking it's global warming. It's global warming. You know, we got to quit burning coal and we got to quit. You know, okay, fine, let's quit burning the coal, let's quit with the fossil fuel. I mean, how are we going to live? How are you going to power anything? You know, I'm sorry, I'm not going to learn how to rub two sticks together and make a fire. Because you know what happens when you rub sticks together and you build a campfire and you burn the wood? You know what you're releasing into the atmosphere? It's carbon burn-off. Okay? So there's no good solution. Not unless you become a Jedi Knight and can do it with the Force. Which is stupid. There's no way to get around this. The bottom line is, these problems on planet Earth are a result of the power of sin. Now, all this other stuff can contribute to bad situations. I understand it, and I agree. But it all goes back to the power of sin bringing corruption into the world. In Matthew chapter 24, turn back over there. Matthew chapter 24, and look in verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. Verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And then over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they, this is talking about the body of Christ, will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Okay, this is happening now like never before. You know, this twisted grace message has taught people you don't have to repent. And these preachers of this twisted grace message are going to say, well, we aren't telling people it's okay to sin. But when you tell people you don't have to repent for sin and that your sin is already taken care of, you're telling them it doesn't matter. So what you're doing, basically, even though you're not saying it's okay to sin, they hear it doesn't matter. And they may say, well, you know, you really shouldn't. But if you do, in other words, I don't have to worry about it. There are no consequences for my actions. And that is just one particular type of doctrine that is going through the earth and messing people up and leading people away. It's, you know, the whole thing with the itching ears. This is happening now. More and more people are being drawn away from the sound doctrine. He says they won't endure sound doctrine. Nowadays, when you start delivering sound doctrine, a lot of people are going to call you a Pharisee. You know, I get a lot of messages from people on Facebook, so I'm on it a lot. But I don't, you know, some people, they just scroll through and scroll through and just scroll through and read everything that's on there. What a waste of time. And I'm not ashamed to say it. But today, something was there on the front where some people were defending the concept of a seeker-friendly church, saying, well, Christians are supposed to be friendly. You know, are you that ignorant? No. And then they were talking about how, well, you know, Jesus was friendly to people, and that when people were seeking after him, he was friendly to them. Really? Talk to the Pharisees. Talk to the people that, you know, got some little whip marks on their backside that day in the temple. I mean, come on. Jesus confronted people over their sin. You know, what's that? This lady's been caught in adultery? Well, ma'am, where are your accusers? Well, there are none. Well, you know, I'm not either, but go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. In other words, it means something. Another guy gets healed, and Jesus says, you know, go on, but, you know, don't sin anymore, lest the worst thing come on you. So I guess it did mean something to Jesus. If you don't stay true to the Word of God, you have no foundation for what you teach. And you have a lot of people out there right now who are buying into whatever they hear because it's a good church. Every now and then I get emails from people talking about the things in their church. And you know, I have to guard what I say sometimes unless they just flat out bluntly ask me certain questions. But I just wonder, you know, why are you in this church? When you know what's going on, why are you there? You're like, well, you know, God wants me to be there. So, all right, you better hope you're correct on that one. You better hope. But this whole thing of the false prophets, the false teachers, it's rising now. I mean, they've always been around, but it's increasing. It's happening now. Look over in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Now remember, what I'm pointing out to you are prophecies of end time events that are taking place now before our very eyes. In Luke chapter 17, look in verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. As it was in the days of Noah. Okay, well, what does that mean? Leave your finger here in Luke 17. We're coming back in a moment, but turn over to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. And as we read this, just see if it sounds relevant to right now. Genesis chapter 5. No, I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 6. I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And behold, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Are we not reading today's news report right here? Absolutely we are. The earth is full of violence. You know, back with the presidential election of 2012, I shared with you a vision the Lord gave me, how that prior to the election, there was this massive horde of demons off the coast of the United States. And immediately after that election, the floodgates were opened. They invaded. 30 days later, we had that school shooting, that massacre in Connecticut or wherever it was. Sandy Hook. Yeah, 30 days later. And it hasn't slowed down. Policemen are getting killed all over the place. More school shootings. And I find it so interesting, everybody wants to blame the guns. What a bunch of fool idiots. And I don't apologize for that. You know, I was talking with Kathy about this the other night. I said, the bottom line is, you know, people want to say, well, get rid of the assault weapons. Okay, what is an assault weapon? What is it? Most people don't know. A BB gun could be an assault weapon. If I attack you with a BB gun, I have an assault weapon. People don't get it. How many of you know what a Colt 45 is? Okay, some of you do. Look it up. If you're good enough, you can turn a Colt 45 into a rifle that looks similar to an AR-15. All you have to do is add a stock on the end of it, a barrel extension, and a hand grip. That's it. And now you've got a Colt 45 with a 15-round clip. There you go. Well, you know what it is? People look at a certain... Did you know that an AR-15 can be built in like 30 different ways and look totally different in each one of them? People don't know this. So everybody jumps on the bandwagon, ban the guns, ban the assault weapons, ban the... What kind of fools are you? You don't get it. What kind of a rifle was used to kill John F. Kennedy? Well, we better ban those. What kind of rifle was used to kill Martin Luther King? Better get rid of those. Did you know that you can take a Pepsi can, cut the top off of it, and turn it into a grenade? So now you've taken my guns away from me, no problem. I'll just make about 15 of these little grenades, walk through a school, and just start throwing them in the classrooms. Do you understand what I'm getting at? T- Taking away the guns is not the solution. The solution is getting people born again and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the answer. We don't know why all these kids are shooting people. I do. It's the sin nature. Come on. Wasn't there this guy in England, I don't know, like 100 or so years ago? What was it they called him? Jack the Ripper. I don't remember reading how that they wanted to ban knives. Come on. Do you realize that after the bombing in Oklahoma City, there were moves to not ban, but make it next to impossible to buy fertilizer? Okay, fine. Now what are you going to do for your crops? Because the bomb in Oklahoma City was built using fertilizer. Guys, there are so many gazillion ways to kill people. You know, if you want to kill somebody bad enough, you're going to figure out how to do it. Banning the guns is not the answer. Well, then they ought to get rid of those semi-automatic guns. Okay, what is a semi-automatic gun? Do you even know? What's an automatic gun? Well, I don't know. Well, what's a semi-automatic gun? Well, I don't know. But we need to ban them. Okay, quick, simple lesson. Automatic gun, M16, machine gun, AK-47, machine guns. Pull the trigger, they shoot. What is a semi-automatic gun? How fast can you pull the trigger? That's a semi-automatic gun. So if you're going to ban semi-automatic guns, you're banning everything. Literally everything. Here's one for you. How many of you remember the TV show The Rifleman? Remember that? Those of you who don't, I feel so sorry for you. Remember The Rifleman, the opening scene? He's walking down the street, and he's got that gun, bam, 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 bam. I mean, almost machine gun fast. Now, you do your own research, but what he... You've seen those cowboy movies where they have those Winchesters? Bam, bam, okay. The Rifleman was using a modified Winchester, and I read how it was designed and modified, and it's like, okay, whatever. But anyway, it was modified so that he could just rattle off and just shoot, just empty the chamber. Here's what I'm getting at. You can do what you want. You're going to figure out how to do it if you're after people. That's just how it works. There was some guy, I forget what city where this happened. He got it was like a bulldozer or something, and modified it, and started driving through town, tearing down buildings. He's some guy that got fired from his job and got mad, so he bought a piece of heavy equipment and turned it into a weapon. He just tore the city apart. And they're shooting. Well, he couldn't do anything. The bullets are just bouncing off. If you want to, you're going to do it. Some way, somehow. Guns aren't the problem. It's the heart of man. That is the problem. And the violence is going to increase. And I know some people, Brother Martin, you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, I do know what I'm talking about. What? You know what? If everybody was born again living for Jesus, how many school shootings would we have? None. How many policemen would be dead from being shot? None. You follow this? Don't be fooled by all the rhetoric. Don't. If people want to kill people bad enough, they're going to figure out how, and they're going to do it. Turn back over to Luke 17, verse 28. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Okay. As it was in the days of Lot. What does that mean? Well, turn over to Luke chapter 18. No, Luke 18. Turn to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18. And in verse 17, the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" And then verse 20, the Lord said, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which has come unto me, and if not, I will know." In chapter 19, verse 1, "And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, 'Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways.' And they said, 'Nay, but we will abide in the street all night.' And he pressed upon them greatly, insisting, 'No, no, you can't do that.' And they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and they did eat, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, 'Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them.'" Do you know what this phrase means, "know them"? It's talking about sexual activity. "Bring them out so that we, the whole bunch of us, can force them into sexual activity. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, 'I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold," now this is weird, "Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore they came under the shadow of my roof.' And they said, 'Stand back.' And they said again, 'This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them.' And they pressed sore upon him, even Lot, and came near to break the door." You know, when you get to the point to where you violently want, as a man, another man, and someone offers you women, and you don't want them, you're messed up. You're messed up. How many of you have ever heard of the term sodomy? Where do you think it came from? Yeah. This is describing, it's not simple. Some people would say, well, it's talking exclusively of homosexuality. It's not simply homosexuality. It's the whole concept of sexual perversions as described by Scripture. Now, let's make that clear, because I don't want to really get off on this, but, you know, the marriage bed is sanctified, all right? But now, what one couple does may not violate Scripture, but it's something that another couple would not want to do. Okay, now we're going to leave it at that. Perversions as defined in the Word of God. Okay? Now, what we're seeing just in the last 8 years, homosexual marriage has been approved. We're seeing a drastic increase in homosexual, well, not homosexual, that can be a man or a woman. You understand that, right? Okay, homosexual is not just men. It is a term that is describing men with men or women with women. Homosexual marriages have increased and become legal. Homosexuals are able to adopt children ever increasingly. In fact, even now, even though it's not fully legal, there are group marriages taking place. Well, you have like three people, and they're all marrying each other. Now, it's symbolic at this point, but there has been an increase. I'm not trying to gross you guys out, all right? But this is going on. There's been an increase of people finding other than humans. In fact, they have interests in animals. This is increasing. People are filming themselves with animals. Now, this has snowballed in the last 8 years. I don't have to say any more than that. You know what's going on, and you know why. Just, you know what, if you read the Old Testament, you're going to find that every time a king who rejected the principles of God and embraced pagan things, life got really bad for the nation of Israel. Really bad. Now, these perversions, you know, there's stuff on television now. We'd never seen it. 8 years ago, there are things we're seeing now that aren't there. Every now and then, Kathy and I have been watching a TV show, and then stuff starts going on. It's like, well, okay, ain't watching that one. And quite frankly, what makes it worse than what they're doing is the fact they're doing it. If I were an actor, I don't care how much money you offer me. I'm not going to be lovey-dovey with another man. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to be lovey-dovey with a woman and let you film me? Excuse me. That's weird. Yes, but it's just a TV. It ain't a TV show. They're doing that stuff. It's not computer-generated graphics. They're doing this stuff. They may not be going all the way, but stuff's happening. Naked is naked. That's the way it is. These things are increasing, as it was in the days of Lot. These things are increasing, and it's going to get worse. Did you realize, do you know that in, everything I'm sharing with you tonight, you can find this out for yourself. In San Francisco, there's a section of the city where at times, at night, men roam the streets totally naked. And the police know it and don't do anything about it because they feel helpless in trying to do anything about it. One of the reasons is because these men will tend to get extremely violent. What did we just read there in the days of Lot, the violence? Now look over in 1 Peter chapter 4. See, one of the things about this particular message tonight is I'm sharing with you how prophecy is coming to pass right now. Things revealed in Scripture that are going to happen prior to the return of Jesus and the end of the world. We're seeing it. It's happening. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first began at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" Now, where it says the righteous, I'm not even going to teach on that tonight. Scarcely be saved, it doesn't mean, you know, well, you're holding on by the skin of your teeth, all right? It doesn't mean that. But judgment must begin at the house of God. What we've seen over the last, really about 25 years, has been this judgment in the house of God concerning sin and immorality. Now you can say, well, yeah, but a lot of that was directed toward the Catholic Church. Listen, when you build a building and you say we dedicate this to the one true God, and you're telling people about Jesus, even though you may be telling them, you know, pray to saints or, you know, whatever, the bottom line is, it's a dedication to God in the name of Jesus, okay? So therefore, all these things that were happening, and it's not just the Catholic Church. It is across the board, and it's not just the immorality, but it's also other stuff as well. Sin. Just, you know, here just a few weeks ago, I read about some pastor and his wife that were involved in some scheme that built Christians out of millions of dollars. Okay, these things are coming to light. And so the world was watching this, thinking, oh, you know, you perverted church people. Well, guess what's been happening over the last couple of years? All of a sudden now, since the judgment has been released against the church, that's where it started first, and now the world is being exposed for the same stuff and, depending upon the situation, worse. TV people are losing their jobs. I mean, movie people. This stuff is coming out. All the crazy, wacko stuff that's been happening, it's being exposed. You know why all these things are happening? It's because God in his mercy and his grace, is doing everything he can to get people to repent. And if it takes embarrassing them before the whole world, so be it. He's more concerned with their eternal salvation than how they look to the rest of the world. And so we see this judgment is increasing, the sin and the immorality in the church, and now we're seeing it happen in the world. It's going to increase. And here's the crazy thing, man. You got people out there that are still doing these things. You'd think they'd learn. Well, I've got news for you. You know, you can't do this. You can't. Be sure your sin will find you out. That's in the Word of God. It's going to happen. Look over in Revelation chapter 24. No, Revelation chapter 20. Now, this verse, we'll read it, and then I'll explain to you what's going on and how it applies to right now. Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Here's what you may not know. Beheadings have increased dramatically over the last 15 years. Now, it's not happened so much in the United States, but it has happened. You probably haven't heard about that, have you? Oh, yeah. It's happened here in the United States. People who claim to be Muslim have attacked and beheaded people here in the United States. But you're not hearing about it. Oh, it's some of it has been reported, but not on the front page or the headline on television like it should be. It's not. Over in the Middle East, that is the preferred method of execution. In fact, and I won't go into any details about how all this happened, but I actually had access to a video where it showed a terrorist, a Muslim guy, beheading another person. He pulled out a knife, had a blade about maybe 12 inches, 10 inches long, and just right into this guy's neck, and I did not watch the whole thing. He was cutting the guy's head off. This is going on more than you realize. Children are being beheaded. Women are being beheaded. This is happening continually. Our news sources are ignoring it. It's going on. See, our military intelligence knows it. What happens is this. The terrorists over there, when they go attacking and so forth, they nearly always, nowadays, have a video camera with them or a cell phone. And they video what they do to people. Then they show it and say, if you don't do what we want, this is what we're going to do to your children, to your wife, to your families, to your friends, this is what we're going to do. And so they get these videos. So what happens is, when our military captures them or kills them, one of the things they look for, all the cell phones and video cameras, because they're not simply looking for the killings, they're also examining the videos because the videos could give them clues as to where weapons are being stored. This stuff is going on, guys. It's happening. And it's happened in the United States. I'm telling you right now, I mean, I'm not standing here and saying, thus saith the Lord, but I believe it is going to happen more in this country. Look, the more you are willing to say anybody can do anything they want, worship anything they want, live however they want, do you realize that up in Michigan there's a no-go zone? There are no-go zones in several cities throughout the United States where the Muslims have moved in and the police won't even go in. Because if they do, they're going to be attacked. A lot of people don't know this. Out west, there are compounds where armed guards with automatic weapons refuse to allow anybody in except, I'm not talking about your anti-government, you know, I'm talking about Muslim groups that are doing this. You say, well, Brother Martin, I don't believe all that. Do your own research. It's out there. This stuff is happening, and it's increasing. And more people are going to experience these kinds of deaths. But there's one more thing I want to share with you. Turn back over to Matthew 24. You say, well, this is really an encouraging sermon tonight, brother. Glad I came. Well, no, look. When you talk about the end times, when you talk about what's happening, the signs of what's taking place, the prophecies and their fulfillment and all this, it is rough. It's not pleasant. But it's happening, and again, it's because of the sin nature. See, if people just get born again and live for Jesus, this stuff wouldn't happen. But that's not the way it works. Now, in Matthew 24, look at verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, when I was growing up, and we would hear this verse read, in our minds, we had this idea of missionaries going out into all the countries. And it's like, okay, well, yeah, you know, they got to get on their boats and their planes and, you know, go to all these different countries. But do you realize right now, this ministry all by itself has the ability to fulfill Matthew 24:14. All alone, by ourselves. We don't need any other churches doing this. We can do it by ourselves, and nobody has to leave Dayton, Ohio. It's called the internet. And do you realize I have been asked to conduct Skype seminars in other nations? You know what Skype is? Skype, okay, if you don't, you know, look it up. I'm not going to try and explain it all right now. I've been asked to conduct Skype sermons, Skype church services, Skype seminars in other countries, where I could sit at my desk at home and teach, and I don't know how many people would be on the other side of that. It can be done. We, this church alone, can fulfill this passage, and we can do it tonight. As long as people, hey, we can do it literally tonight. If everybody on planet Earth had access to the internet and could log on and be watching right now, we would fulfill this. The entire planet would hear the gospel, every human being, from this church right now. Can you imagine this? Well, yeah, you can, because you get on the internet every day. The reason I'm pointing this verse out is because the reality of this being fulfilled is right now. Right this very minute. This means, in spite of all the other bad stuff and all the nasty things and so forth, this right here, the gospel, is being preached around the world. In fact, all you have to do is have the right equipment. You can go into the heart of a jungle someplace and set up like a little battery-powered satellite dish to pull in a signal or something, and you can show it. You don't have to actually be there. I mean, the options are only limited by whatever technology you have. It can be done. Praise God. We're living in the fulfillment of end-time prophecy, guys. Jesus is coming soon. But the question is, you know, are you ready? Well, I'm guessing you are. I'm hoping you are, because Scripture says He's coming back for a church without spot or blemish. That means where He says there in Peter, be ye holy, for I am holy. He means it. We can be holy because His holy life is in us. We have no excuses for not being holy. Oh, this doesn't mean that we have to sprout angel wings and have little halos around our head and all that. But what it means is we're shunning evil. And we're living as much as we can as Christ in the world. None of us, you know, there are various levels of people who are, how can I say this? Okay, here's one for you. Remember when Jesus was crucified? I know you weren't there, but you read about it. Remember, thief on each side? Remember the one said, remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in my kingdom, in paradise. Remember he said that? How long did that guy have to clean up his life? I mean, obviously he's hanging on a cross, so he can't steal anything. I mean, he can't. Do you understand? How long did he have to live for Jesus? He had not even been baptized in water. That's right. He had never given an offering, never paid tithes. Oh my goodness. He was a thief. He might have stolen tithes for all we know. Here's what I'm getting at. God knows your heart, and His grace does not excuse sin, but He understands where we are. And it's like the kid who's trying so hard in school. He's trying his best, but sees. That's the best he can do. And then the other one sleeps through class and gets straight A's. Where's the fairness in that? But mom and dad love both equally. That's the way it is with our Father. So it's not a matter of us being perfect as we think of perfect. It's a matter of us striving in that direction, going from glory to glory. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. We can be ready. Just like John said, even so, Lord Jesus, you know, come quickly. You know, I actually have mixed emotions about that. On the one hand, yeah, please come quickly. But on the other hand, man, there's so much stuff to teach. There's so much. Well, Brother Martin, maybe you could do it in heaven. Yeah, right. Like anybody's going to come to my class and hear me teach in heaven when they could be worshiping before the throne. But praise God, man, we're seeing prophecy fulfilled right before our eyes. Jesus is coming back. Hallelujah.